Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Let's turn to John's Gospel this morning. Wow, now looking back, I wish I would have gone a little bit further, but then it would have been out of the flow, and yet now there's a lot of ground to cover, but I don't want to blast through, so we'll just see how we do. How's that sound? We'll see how far we can go, what kind of ground we can make. I've rolled up my sleeves. I'm ready to get into it and get with it and plow along. Chapter 6 of John's Gospel, beginning with verse 22 this morning, is where we're going to pick it up. We just watched this miraculous, wonderful, awesome thing take place as Jesus fed the thousands. From just a few loaves and a couple of fish, and we watch that miraculous thing take place, and then Jesus telling the guys, get in the boat, go to the other side, kind of sternly tell them, and they get caught up in this tempest and this storm, and they are challenged by that. And ultimately, we learned quite a bit about just the heart of the Lord, and again, our offering the things, whatever we have, whatever you have, whatever I have, offering those things to the Lord. And we can oftentimes feel very meager in what we're bringing to God. You know, what are these among so many is the statement that Andrew made. And I feel that way. We feel that way. It happens sometimes. But one thing that I've learned over the years is that as we bring those things, as we present those things to the Lord blesses those. If we give them whatever we have, if we give it to Jesus, Jesus blesses whatever we have. He takes whatever we have. He then gives it back to us that we might distribute it to others. So it's God in the process that makes it so awesome and special. That Jesus taking that which you give to him, he blesses it, he gives it back to you, that you and I then might go out and distribute those things that he's given to us. And as we in turn go out and distribute, that we find out that there's this miraculous thing that starts to take place as God moves through those things that we give out. And then there's this abundance of what God does through it. And then they gather up, because they were so, like us oftentimes, like, I don't know if this is, not sure how this is going to really work. They, each one of them had their own, there are 12 baskets they gathered up. Each one of them had to look at their own basket, heaping and overflowing from the abundance of what they gathered in afterward. You know, isn't this true in our experience as we follow the Lord? And so that has all transpired, and now we hit verse 22. On the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, saw that there was no other boat there except that one, which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. So this is their remembering after that feeding of the thousands that were there. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him, notice verse 25, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? There's this question to them of, when did you get here? When did you get here? And actually, maybe even, how did you get here? We just see the one boat's gone, and we're trying, when did you get here? They can't find him. All of a sudden, he's there, but they didn't see him get into the boat. Well, we know he walked out. They hadn't read the earlier part of John chapter 6. They hadn't read that part yet, but you'll catch up in a minute. It's early still. They're wondering, how did this really happen? And they find him on the other side. They said, Rabbi, teacher, when did you come here? But notice Jesus' response. This is so classic Jesus. We come to him with all these plethora of questions and, what about this and what about, look at how he answers them. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. That wasn't the question. That wasn't even, that wasn't the question. But he answers knowing what they're really after. Isn't it interesting that Jesus knows what you and I really need? This is a statement of need. Boy, if you walk away with nothing else today, but if you grasp a couple of these concepts out of this portion of Scripture, it can change your whole life. Jesus knows your need. They think, he's saying, they came because, you know, you got a great free lunch yesterday. It was a great time. We all sat on the hill, we broke bread, we ate, we hung out. And really, you're coming, one, because you saw this miraculous thing transpire, and you still want another free lunch, basically. You want to eat again. Now, Jesus is addressing a very important thing, and he wants to make a very clear point. Jesus is answering, really, why they are there. Jesus talks to them about why they're there. He's not answering to them about when did you come here, because it's really irrelevant. So Jesus goes right to the point of what really matters, and he starts to tell them what they're doing there. Isn't it great? Jesus knows your need. Jesus knows my need. Jesus knows what's going on in each of our lives, and he goes right for the heart of it and starts to address it. He tells them then in verse 27, he begins to expound on that thought. You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You were filled, and now you're looking to be filled again. Do not labor for the food which perishes, in verse 27, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Now, when we travel over, and in various parts of the world I know are like this, but I have some favorite pastry shops that I like to go to over in Tokyo. And it's pretty interesting. There's this one shop called Kobaya Bakery. It's a pastry shop. And so we go into this pastry shop, and they have these really awesome pound cakes. They're about this big. And they're really, to me, they're beautiful looking. If I wasn't married, I would seek to marry one. But they're really awesome. You remember that when you were a kid? Anyway, they're really, really delicious and wonderful. They're thick and just, but one of the things that's interesting, there's never a mistake of what bakery that came from. Because on the top, there's this little seal embedded into it, indented into it, kind of almost like burned into it a little bit, kind of like leather burning. But in the top, it just says Kobaya Bakery. It's just kind of put into it. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, because God the Father has set his seal on him. It's that kind of marking that he knows and that you would know where he's from. He says that mark has been placed upon him. And you'll understand as we get a little bit further as he explains this. Again, there don't labor for the food which perishes. This is the key concept this morning that Jesus is going to expound on. Don't labor for the food which perishes. The thing is, brothers and sisters, we often forget. It's quick to forget. We work so hard, and the second you put it in your mouth, it's already starting to perish. That thing that brings sustenance to you and me, it's already beginning to decay and waste away. It's instantaneous. It's sure. And this thought carries out into everything. What's interesting to me is it's not even just, because you and I can all say, oh yeah, well my house, it's going to burn. My car, it's going to burn. All the stuff, it's going to burn. You realize even that food that you're going to put in your mouth a little bit later, it's just going to burn. It's already perishing. What is it that you and I are so intent on that we are set on? And Jesus is kind of trying to show something to them about priorities. They just got fed with thousands of other people. They just got fed, and it's already over, and now they're looking to be fed again. Keep that floating around the back of your mind. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. You want to do the works of God? This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent, that you and I would have personal relationship, that we would know Jesus, that we would believe on him, that we would trust in him. That's really what we need. This is the work of God. Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see and believe you? Think about this. This is the same group that just got fed with thousands of other people. And now they're saying, think with me. Let's think about this. So is it the miraculous that brings people to Jesus? Think with me. Is that what's being shown to us here? In Romans, it's very clear. Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how your faith, that's how my faith is built up. Not by the miraculous, because the miraculous seeks more miraculous. It's an insatiable of want. It can never be filled. It's a void of just wanting more and more and more. And this is what we see. This is what Jesus is clearly saying. Man, what will you do? What sign will you perform that we might believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven, referring back to Moses and when they were wandering in the wilderness. But do you remember? They had to gather that stuff up every day. They ate it. And they couldn't store it. They couldn't hang it because it would just get worms and just get rotted and yucky. Within the first, it was good for one day, that's it. Each day they need to go out and gather up that manna. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus is starting to get into this thought about who he really is. This bread, this thing, okay, the manna, they ate, they hungered again. Jesus is taking something very practical that they're looking for, and he's trying to make a spiritual application. You see, you and I, our lives are but a vapor, the Bible says. Here and gone. Here and gone. It's quick. Now, when we're younger, I know it doesn't seem like that. It seems like it's going to last. But as we get older, we start realizing just how vaporous we are, you know. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That thing that we really need, that thing that you and I really, really need, that'll give us everlasting life. Not just sustain life for a little while. Not just from the time we eat it, it's already begun to perish in a sense. But that which would last forever and ever. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Man, that's what we want then. You see, you and I, we are, and the world around us is, craving, desiring something. All. We're longing, we want something. And look at the energy that is spent to fulfill this natural desire for stuff. For things. And we work so hard to fill our life with these things. And we do anything and it goes in, and it seems good for a little while. You know, everybody likes to have a new car. I'm just so thankful for the first scratch that it gets in it. Then I'm set free. After the first scratch, I'm done. You know, I suffer my pain, and I'm set free from the bondage of that first scratch now. It's over. I've suffered the first scratch, and it's done. But it's that focus on wanting these things and then finding that, you know, that was great, but... You know, motorcycles are very interesting this way. Anybody who's had bikes, motorcycles. Motorcycles, you get a 125 Enduro, and it's great. The first 6 months or so, the 125 Enduro is fun. You kind of get that 125 Enduro mastered. It just doesn't have as much giddy up as you want. You know, your buddy's got this 175 or a 250, and you know, and then you know, you just realize it's hard to keep up with the 250, and so now you go and you trade that one and you get the 250. It just keeps going. I found boats to be a similar thing. Now, I've not found that true with surfboards. Surfboards are just a special item, and no, just kidding. It's the same thing with them. It all just, we think once we grab a hold of that job, we get to that point, we buy this, we attain to that, and then we're going to feel satisfied. This is what their life's satisfaction. That's what Jesus is talking about. They were very basic folk, and their need was, hey, man, we just need some more bread, man. All of us need some more bread, you know. But they need some more stuff, and they just want it. And so Jesus is saying, man, that's not really. I know what you're really needing. I know what you're really desiring. But those things are going to perish. They're going to go away. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And I said to you, you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. There's no way I'm going to cast that person away or cast them out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. What a great thought, huh? That resurrection power. That the things that we aspire to attain here, that it's going to perish. But the things that we give, and as we give our lives to the Lord, we have everlasting life. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last day. Powerful words that Jesus says as he tells them basically who he is. And it is interesting, just for those of you who are real caught up in predestination or any of those things, or have this radical battle between free will choice and all these different things, just focus on verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. So this is the drawing. And the one who comes to me, the one who chooses to come, I will by no means cast out. Isn't it amazing how God's word is just all right there? Boom, both. So argue either side of it, whatever you want. I just argue both. It's just get too hung up on it. You know, the thing about choice that's important for us to remember is that love is just that. And for it to be genuine and to have significance, there needs to be choice involved. Because love, forced love, is rape. So that God doesn't force himself on us. He loves us just as we are, and he wants to have fellowship with us. It's his desire. Then, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. This is puzzling to them. What's he saying? And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I've come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. He just reminds this religious group that, hey, the real reality is you have to humble yourself. And it's not going to happen by your own works or by your own things. It's by the Father drawing you, as it is written in the prophets in verse 45. And they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. If he's really your Father, you're going to recognize his Son. If he's really your Father, you would recognize who he is what he's saying to them. That they should recognize that he is Messiah. That he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's basically what he's telling them. That they maybe don't have the right relationship with the Father. Verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am, Jesus said. I am, just like Moses when he's out there in the desert and he gets to the burning bush and he's talking with the burning bush. And this is one of the smartest guys around, trained by all of the Egyptians. I mean, Moses was no schmuck. He was a really sharp fella. And he spent a lot of time out in the desert. And now he's standing there. Can you imagine the humility associated with standing there talking to a burning bush? A bush that can't be consumed. Now he's just standing there talking with it. Well, so just who am I supposed to say? Just go to Pharaoh and tell. Well, who am I supposed to say sent me? I am, God said. The becoming one. The one who's there to meet your need and my need. The becoming one. That's what that I am means. The becoming one. Oh, what a great truth. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Your fathers, back to the manna, ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. You want more manna, but manna only sustains for a little bit. God is the provider. God provided the manna, which sustained for a little bit. God provides our daily bread. We're to ask for it. And God provides that. He's our provider. But beyond that, it is so much more. He wants to be the provider of everlasting life. That true gift, that thing that never perishes, that one thing that makes all of life worth living. It satisfies yours and my deepest need. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. They're dead. This bread, which comes down from heaven, speaking of himself, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread. Okay, so let's get this, let's wrap our heads around this a little bit further. Let's think through this. Jesus, we start out in John's gospel that he is the living word. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. As we dine on the word, the living word, it is what sustains us. If you go over into Matthew's account in chapter 5, Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, so let's see real quick. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus is our righteousness. Is he that which I am hungering after? You see, all these other things around us are eye candy and distractions. Many idols, many gods, little things, stuff that we can get sidetracked on. Oh, it can be noble. It can be the greatest humanitarian endeavor. And it will satisfy for a little while. You can feel good about yourself and your efforts for a little while. But it doesn't fully satisfy deep within. Only God, the living word, the bread of life that we can dine upon. But the deal is this, that the habitual craziness about this is that the more I eat something good, the more I want to eat good things.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks again for listening to the Bible study today, and I trust that God is speaking to your heart. Oftentimes when we hear God's word, it kind of pricks our hearts and there's a desire to respond. And I want to give you that opportunity to respond to God today by giving your life to Jesus if you've never given your life to Jesus. And if you want that free gift of salvation, everlasting life, it's yours. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you've walked with God at some point in your life, but you're just not walking with him today and want to get right with him. This is an opportunity for you. You know, many make fun of Jesus' second coming, that they're wondering, hey, is Jesus ever going to come back? And they make fun of it, kind of asking, where's the promise of his coming? You know, trying to act like God's forgotten about us. Well, God's not forgotten about you, me, or this world. But the real reality is the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, that's God's heart, is that we would get to that place of repentance. That means to turn away from something and to begin to follow something else, turning away from our sin and our sinful thoughts and our sinful actions in our lives that are so destructive, and then willingly follow him. That's his desire, that we wouldn't perish, but that we'd have everlasting life. If you'd pray a simple prayer of faith with me right now, right where you are, right whatever's going on in your life, if you just take this brief moment from your heart
to pray this prayer and just ask Jesus, Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I want to ask that you would be my personal Lord and Savior, that you'd come into my heart, make my heart your home, and that I would begin this new life, this new journey with you, Jesus. I thank you so much for loving me, and I thank you for forgiving me. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus Christ.